Hello and welcome to Southern Comfort, a SoCon podcast where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. I'm here with my guest this week, Will Fleming, a first recurring guest. Will, you want to say what's up to the people?
Man, thanks for having me back on. It's nice to be a recurring guest. I guess that makes me a friend of the program kind of thing. What up to the people? Hope this is a good episode this week for you guys.
For sure. And you mentioned it. I thought the episode that we recorded prior was just a great episode. I've had a lot of people reach out and say, you know, it was great content. We really kind of seemed professional. So that's a compliment. I got a compliment from David Sloanstein this week. He told me I sucked at my job. I do this professionally? Yeah, I love it. That makes me feel great. Ready to jump into things here. I'll throw you the results from Monday. We only had two games. Both of, well, one of which worked out well for one of us, and the other one, I'm sure the other one would like to see the result flipped. Western hosts Citadel and defeats them 76-75. Basin makes a game-winning floater, and Zay gets a game-winning block, 21-5-4 from Mason, which continues to carry the Cats. Do you got anything to say about that one?
Nice to see the first win for the Cats, for sure. Citadel still can't win on the road. And no, it was interesting because I think if Western, they shot 12 of 16 from the three, you know, I think if Western made, I don't know, like four more three-pointers, the game is not even close. You didn't shoot well, but you found a way to win, and that's nice to see for you guys because it's nice to see something positive turn out for you guys. I still, you know, Hayden Brown, 17 rebounds, 16 points. It's just unbelievable. His shorts were a little higher than usual as well. It's getting out of control. You know, I think on one of the last podcasts, you may have to censor this. You know, I mean, the more we watch these games, I feel like, you know, it's not safe to watch at work. You know, it's one of those things. But no, congrats on the big win for sure.
Yeah, your boss walks by and he's man with his pants off. He's gonna be like, what's going on? I promise it's basketball. It's Hayden Brown. I don't know what to tell you. He doesn't like to wear shorts.
It's out of control.
And then the second one on Monday, a tough one for the Bucks. They drop 162-67 in a game that I thought was, you know, it's game of the year material. It was a great fight. You have anything to say about that one?
Yeah, we started off really hot. I think we were up like 24-8, something like that. We really
as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we really start off super hot, and then, you know, it's a game of runs, and whenever you play Wofford, they always find a way to get hot at some point. My friends are texting me because they bet on the game, and they're like, "Oh, dude, like this is an easy win, like way to go, Bucks." I'm like, "You just gotta wait." Like they Wofford always finds a way to get hot at some point during the game, and they sure did. And whatever they did, man, they started that thing with LA. LA's been cold since he's played against them. I think he only finished with 8 points. Damari still stuffed the stat sheet with 24-8, 6-9 from three. But just, we didn't execute towards the end of the game and got a nice big fat loss right there. But I was very impressed with Wofford. Storm Murphy's just one of those guys I can't wait to see leave the league. I feel like he's been here for 8 years, you know. But really impressed with Wofford, and I mean, kudos to them for fighting back and shutting us up for a little bit.
For sure. And you mentioned leave the league. This is a free year, and I've heard some people, you know, talk about the possibility of Storm Murphy staying. Now, if he's a guy that comes back again, now that would be painful for a lot of people. And you also mentioned Ladarius Brewer kind of been cold. Is it even his team anymore? Is he kind of playing the Robin role now to Monsanto's as Batman? Yeah. Do you think that's what's kind of occurring here?
You know, I'm not even sure. I think yesterday, you know, he kind of got out of his shell a little bit. Still only finished with 8 points. The last three games, he's only finished with 8 points, I believe. I'm not really sure. You know, I think what the team did last year, what last year's team did when it didn't matter who was hot. If somebody was hot, they gave them the ball kind of thing. And I think this team is starting to see that. And Damari's hot. I mean, there's really no one is stopping him right now when he shoots the ball. And so I think it's when those things are like, okay, let's get the ball in Damari's hands and see what he can do. You know, I'm not sure, but I don't know whatever they did to LA, but I mean, but everyone gets cold, you know, I mean, you get in slumps and it's just a matter of time before he gets out of it and starts shooting well again. Cause when LA and Damari both are shooting well, I think we're a tough team to beat.
For sure. That's something I was going to say. You know, if you can get both of those guys going, you got kind of two weapons there. You're not going to beat ETSU if both of those guys score 20 points. It's just probably not going to happen. And then we can roll into Wednesday's contest. Another thing, you know, Wofford, ETSU, and Western Carolina all play three games this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, versus UNCG just plays one. But VMI goes into Wofford and knocks them off. No Trey Bonham in that one. I believe he's injured. Jake's drops 22-9. Greg, 22-6-4. Is it time for some, you know, Greg Parham love on the podcast? You know, I feel like the SoCon's giving him all this love, and I've kind of just been under the rug in him. But he's his middle name. It's got to be Bucket. Any thoughts on that one?
You know, I think he deserves a love, but, man, we can't shy away from Jake Stevens. 9-12 shooting, 2-3 from the three-pointer, from three-point range. Finished with 22-9. I mean, that's very, very, very efficient shooting. I was at work, so I really couldn't watch most of the game. I got to watch a little bit going into overtime, but Greg hit a dagger towards the end of the game. I think he put it up 81-74 with like 2.5 minutes left, or like a minute and a half left in overtime. So, I mean, this VMI team, they're good. It's just, it's weird to say that, you know, VMI has a good basketball team this year. And going in the road and beating Wofford, who was just hot and beat us, I think it's a big statement game. So kudos to them. But, yeah, Jake Stevens is on fire the game. Greg's on fire. When those two play well, it's going to be really, really tough to beat them.
For sure. And apparently late in that game, I didn't get to watch much of it either. There were some questionable out-of-bounds calls that Wofford said has been reviewed and should have been turned the other way. But of course, you know, you say that when you lose a game. Oh, this call and that call. You let VMI come in there and beat you, dude. I don't care if they're good or not. You got to protect home court in the SoCon. Absolutely. And transferring to the next one. This, in my opinion, this is the best team in the SoCon right now. They're sitting at the top of the league. Only played one game this week. I feel like they've only played one game every week the last, like, 3 weeks. I don't know how they're getting the schedule. I know they got a tough one coming up next week. But UNCG goes into Citadel and just destroys another SoCon opponent, 85-66. Their last four games, God, they've been beating people 15 points. Caleb Hunter drops 22. He was perfect from the field for a good part of the game. I know he ended up missing a few shots. And Isaiah Miller's 15-7-7. What do you think about the Spartans? Are they a team to beat right now?
And they're hot. Yeah, they're hot. I mean, I'm looking at the stat line right now, the stat sheet right now. They played, it looks like they played 13 players that game. You know, I mean, if they played their starters for more. Isaiah played 27 minutes. Imagine if they played for 35. You know, they could have scored 110 points probably.
Yeah, he gets a triple-double, guaranteed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just they're hot right now, and I don't know if people can stop them. I think this week will be a good test for them playing Furman twice. If they go and beat Furman twice, that's troublesome for the SoCon. I hate G, but I got to give respect where it's due. They're hot right now. But again, with Citadel, they live and die by the three. And, you know, they shot 5 for 23. Hayden Brown, of course, leads the stats with them. But they didn't shoot well from beyond the arc. Trey Moff, is that his name? The point guard, 0 for 4 shooting. Caden Rice, 1 for 6 from the three. I mean, it's just one of those things. You live and die by it, and they definitely died by it. But granted, I think even if they hit their threes, they don't even – It may be a 10-point game instead of a 19-point game, but who knows?
For sure, and they got blown out. And then the next one, Western Carolina hosts Chattanooga. We dropped that one, 67-74. Smith, Banks, Gene Baptiste. Darius Banks is a guy that wasn't going to play this year. Ends up playing because of just the injury issues with Lamont Paris' squad, a guy that guaranteed they lose a game. He's going to tell you they didn't. Oh, we only had six guys. That's why we lost. You know, Chad's coming off of that post-COVID break. I think they're one of the first teams in the conference this year to come out of a COVID break and actually win games. Anything to say about that one?
I didn't get to watch much of it, but after watching you and UTC yesterday, they're a lot more of a impressive squad than I thought they were. I thought they were fakes. Well, I still think they are fake, especially, you know, they didn't really play anybody before the conference season started. They got a good win against UAB. I think they beat UAB. UAB beat us at the buzzer. But they're a good team. But, I hate to give them any credit, honestly. But I didn't get to watch much of the games. I really can't talk much about this. I'll leave it up to you. But
man, the Cats just, I don't even know what their issue is, man. I guess you could talk more about it right now.
Yeah, we ran out of gas. We were leading that game most of the way.
Yeah.
I think about 7 minutes left, we kind of gave the Chad a little bit of a lead, and I kind of looked at my dad and I was like, that's it. We won't get back into this game. We do not have the gas. And you're going to call them fakes, but I know it's hard for you to give Chad love. I think they are a little bit more legit mm-hmm. than we want to talk about. And they had mm-hmm. a tough little stretch there at the beginning of the conference. Yeah. And they are still, you know, I like to make jokes about it. They are still struggling health-wise. Casey Hankton's a guy that started both games yeah. this week, and he's a guy that's usually kind of a powerhouse off the bench for him. And Kinnich has really kind of stepped up a little bit. He wasn't yeah. great in this game, but I think he was decent against your Bucks on Saturday. And the last one, you know, yeah. of the Wednesday slate, your Bucks go down there to Mercer, Georgia. Yeah. They get a win. You want to talk about that one? Monsan Goat is what I've got in my notes.
Damari, man, Mari's on fire again. Finished with 24-10, but I think it was not just him. You know, Silas stepped up 11-10, and even Sloan. You know, I know you're not a big fan, but Sloan finished with 14 and 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and I think his best assist, his only assist, came. I think they're running down the court, and it's a fast break, and he pulls it back and gives it to Mari. Mari hits a 3 in transition, and that really just lit a fire under our guys. You know, let's see what the notes I have with this one. Bender only playing 5 minutes. I just don't understand what Mercer's doing down there.
I think they're really beat up. Alvarez also played a short amount last yeah. week prior. He scored 17 in that one. And Jeff Gary's coming off the bench. And yeah. I feel like, you know, they were a really good team earlier in the season, and now mm-hmm. kind of Greg Gary, their head coach, is throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what's sticking. Magic Bender's got to play more than 5 minutes.
I agree. I mean, Bender was – I think he was the reason who beat us last year when they played us at home. And, I mean, like, I listened to Sanders and the Sidekicks at all my guys at ETSU, and then they were talking about it. It's just – I don't get why he played 5 minutes. I don't know if it's an injury. I don't know if it's discipline. I don't know what it was, but you got to get him on the floor more. And Russ Cummings, you know, only had eight points. He wasn't in the game much in the first half. Came alive, hit 2 threes. And, you know, at that point, in the early bit of the second half, you know, he came alive, hit 2 threes. Alvarez hit a 3, I believe. And I was like, well, like, you know, here it goes. They're going this run. But shout out to the guys, you know, came back. And Mari got hot. Again, L.A. only finished with 8 points, 1 assist, 0 rebounds. But again, I think he can attribute that to kind of dishing the ball and getting it to Mari and getting into his hands for a little bit. But yeah, good one for the Bucks going down there. It's never fun to go down there and play against them. But yeah, shout out to the Bucks for that one. And I did notice, I don't know if you saw this there, whenever you shoot free throws over at their place, they have the little inflatables you put behind the goal. I don't know your take on that. Have you seen that?
I hate them. I hate them so much. They had it when we went down there and played. And I was tweeting about it. I was looking for anybody, you know, Zanetto, anybody to encourage it. I was ready to go down there, you know, find some scissors in the arena and just cut them up. They're awful. I hate it.
I'm at a used car lot, man.
I don't know how you're able to do it. I feel like, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think I could see some rules coming in next year. You know, no inflatables behind the goal. You know, nothing that you have to hook up the power to do.
Because that's just taking it to another level. At what point, you Absolutely. Know, where are you interfering with the backboard and just everything that's going on in the game? But shout out to whoever at Mercer came up with that one. Because
you got to give them a pay raise for that. I mean, you know, they're probably sitting home. You know, it's quarantine. They're thinking, what can we do this year? You know, Mercer's never had a big fan base, I don't think. You know, come to games. You know, it's never really sold out down there. You know, I think that brings some people to the stands. And, you know, get some national attention on them, hopefully. You know, I think that's their goal. So, you know,
sure.
Kudos to the dude doing that for sure.
Yeah, we're not going to like it. But, you know, if they're doing it in Freedom Hall or they're doing it in the Ramsey Center. And it's
hey, man, if we do it in Freedom Hall, it's different, right?
Yeah, the best idea ever. Yeah. And we'll transfer now to Saturday's slate. The first game I got on my docket is the Cats. We dropped that one 74-63. I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. Matt Halverson breaks the all-time Western Carolina three-point record, mm-hmm. 279 threes. I'm tweeting about it. I'm very excited for my guy, Matt. And, you know, another Western fan tweets at me and it's just like, they lost. They got blown out at the Citadel. Why are you so happy about this? This record has nothing to do with this season. It has nothing to do with last season. It is an accomplishment for Matt Halvorsen on 4 amazing years at Western Carolina University. It being, you know, not great right now in the SoCon, you can't take that away from what Matt has done behind the arc.
Agreed.
And I'm sure, you know, you as an ETSU fan, you hate to see him make threes when he's playing your team. But just shout out to Matt Halvorsen on that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kingsport guy, I'll definitely give him credit.
Definitely. And other than that, you know, Hayden Brown, you mentioned him earlier on this pod, 21-15-3. You got anything to say about it? What is your kind of takeaway from that?
Citadel can't win on the road, but they win at home. I don't know, man. I didn't get to watch much of it, but, you know, like you said, I did all my notes. I did say, you know, shout out Matt for the record breaker. Incredible 4 years he's had there. Just, I mean, I guess he's played decent. I didn't know him when he was a freshman, but I'm guessing he's been playing a lot of minutes since he's been there. So very deserving of a very hard player. Always plays hard against the Bucks. But I mean, Hayden Brown plays all 40 minutes, 21-15-3, like you said. Caden Rice, 5-for-10 from the 3-point line. I think that makes a big difference.
Big shots.
He's hot. Yeah.
He hit big shots. Shots.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it sucks to lose it. Daniel Ransom comes in. He's a high energy guy for Western, a guy I think I'd like to see play more because opposed to some of the other guys that are on the court right now, when he's out there, he's giving it everything. He had 4 rebounds in 5 minutes, 1-for-4. So, you know, he's getting the ball, and when he goes up with it, he just doesn't seem to be able to put it in the basket. And really, the Cats right now, we have the team. Actually spoke to Duggar Baucom's wife after the game. You know, she saw us walking by. I was down there for that game on Saturday. And she said, y'all have a great team. Duggar was like, I'd love to have this team. They have the talent.
Yeah, they do.
And everybody sees it. And it's time to, you know, put something together.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I do think, I mean, especially after last year, how y'all played last year. I think it sucked that y'all had to run into us. In the semis, I kind of wish y'all were on the other side so we could have maybe. I do think if y'all were on the other side of the bracket, there was a big chance we play you guys in the finals. I think you would have beaten Chat or you beaten Wofford, whoever it would have been that you guys would have played last year. Talent wise, you guys are there. You didn't lose a ton last year. I mean, you lost Carlos, which was I think he was your heart and soul, but you still had the guys, you know. I think Matt coming in this year was huge. Having Xavier still back, you know, these guys. But it's a matter of putting it together, and you never know. Look at Wofford last year. They didn't know what they were. They didn't really have much of an identity. And then I think they lost 9 straight until they went to the conference championship. So who knows? It's getting a little late to play this way. But, man, I feel bad for y'all. That's all. You know, I wish for the best for you guys. I hope for the best. But hopefully you guys can piece it together a little bit.
Yeah. And you mentioned guys we lost from last year. We lost Ono Steger, who really
– Yeah.
He's the embodiment of a catamount almost to me. Something that he harps on is big. It's a person that's called a 4 a.m. friend. Somebody that you can call at 4 a.m. wherever you're at, I need you. And they're going to be there in 30 minutes. And that's something that – almost the entire team was last year for each other.
Yeah.
There was a lot of love, a lot of family there. And I'm not sure if I'm seeing it right now.
From the Cats. Totally understand that. Yeah.
And then I'm going to save the ETSU game for the last one to talk about. So Wofford defeats Furman 75-67, Storm 24-4-6. The big one here, I'm sure you're going to pull the box score up and look at it. Talk about Clay Mounts, man. What are they doing? He shoots 15 3-pointers.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think on my notes right here, I said that Furman just has no depth, which I think we know. I think we noticed that when we played them at home at Freedom Hall. Whenever they subbed, it was just like whenever Slauson got out of the game, whenever Mounts was out of the game, whenever Bothwell was out of the game, there was a big difference when the new guys came on the floor. I think there's 2 or 3 freshmen they put on the floor off the bench. I just don't think they have much depth. But you said Mount shooting 15 3-pointers. Goodness gracious. 20-10 for Mounts. I think he is every bit of that team. I saw it firsthand when they played against Bama at the beginning of the year. Mounts fouled out with 8 minutes left. When Mounts fell off the floor, they ended up getting beat. I think they were up by like 11. And Mounts fouls out. And I mean, the team just, it loses all their identity when he's off the floor. But I didn't get to watch much of this game either. But I will say, you know, I mean, I think the player of the year candidate this year is going to be between Storm and Isaiah Miller. Every game, it doesn't matter who he plays, Storm's had him 24 points a game. I mean, it just seems like every game he's stuffing stats, and he's shooting well. It was 9 for 13 with 24 points. I mean, you can't get much better than that. Shout out Wofford going in there. And I think Furman hasn't lost 19 games. They've had 19 games in a row at Timmins. So nice little way to shatter the streak right there for Wofford. Shout out the Terriers. But, I mean, you have anything else to say about this?
20 points on 20 shots doesn't win basketball games. Yeah. Unless you're Isaiah Miller, who does it constantly and they win. Like, he's getting 34 points on 34 shots, but that's not how to win a ball game. And Mike Bothwell only shoots 9 times. He's got to do more.
Slauson, I think Slauson being one of three was a big thing for me too. You know.
Pass the ball, Clay Mounts. Period. If you're open, maybe it's for a reason. You're gonna shoot.
I'll cut him some slack, man. I do think it's his team, but you gotta. I mean, if you're not making shots, you gotta dish the rock.
For sure. And now we'll go to the dagger for you. UTC 67, ETSU 65.
Yeah.
Where's Ladarius Brewer?
I don't know, man. I mean, did you get to watch any of the game?
I saw a little bit of it. Not a whole bunch. I saw that
from the start. I mean, there was something over the rim. I'm convinced that Freedom Hall, nothing was falling to begin the game. LA finished 3 of 10, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 fouls, got in foul trouble early, got 2 fouls early. We were running players out there. We were running different combos I haven't seen all year. At the first half, just trying to figure out what to do. I think Marcus Niblack came on the floor and kind of helped us out a little bit in the first half. He's a freshman, he kind of helped settle the team down, I think, a little bit before halftime, started to mount a little comeback. Of course, Damari led the team in scoring, 22.7 rebounds, 5 of 10 from the three. I will brag a little bit on Damari. You know, we all know what type of player he is now, but I think this speaks volume. See, I don't know if you've heard this, but during conference play among freshmen in the country, Mari is 6 in points per game, 2nd in rebounds per game, 2nd in the nation among freshmen in threes made in conference play. And then out of all the top 20, he in points scored, he leads all freshmen with fewest turnovers among all players. So, I mean, if that doesn't get you freshman of the year in the conference, I don't know what does, but the kid's an animal and there's no stopping him right now. This game sucked. I don't think we deserve to even be in the game the way we were playing. It's one of those heartbreaking games where you're like, you know, you fight to come back. You finally come back. You make a huge three. Ty Brewer makes a big three to go up by one at the end of the game. And AJ Caldwell makes his only shot all game. He was 1 of 5. Yeah. 1 of 5 and hits the dagger. And it was contested. I don't know if they drew up a play. I don't know what they did, but God, it was miserable looking offense when they tried to get the shot off. So guy picked up his dribble, passed it off. AJ threw up a three and made it. So heartbreaking for the Bucks. Chat comes in, wins their first 1-11 against us. Snaps the 10-game losing streak. But it's heartbreaking. I don't know what we need to do. I think every team gets in these slumps. You know, I think it's hard for us after last year. We didn't lose these games last year. Now we're kind of okay. Like, you know, we're kind of new and we're still a very good team, but I think you said it best. I think you texted me this week. There's no great teams in the SoCon this year. And there's a bunch of good teams. And I think we haven't seen that in a few years. And I just hate losing a chat, man. I could name every excuse in the book, but I hate losing a chat.
My only real comments here is what you said, AJ Caldwell. He's got to have some huevos, man. To be 0-4 from three. And in that moment to hit that shot. And I mean, if you're ETSU, you know, I know he's a great shooter, but that's almost the guy you want taking it with that track record at that point in the game.
Yeah,
and I'll also say this, David Sloan, 8 assists, 14 points, took care of the ball,
yeah,
had a good game.
Yeah. I
do appreciate you reaching out and saying that right now. He had four turnovers, but I mean, I will say, David, you know, we texted yesterday during the game. I mean, he hit some good shots in the first half that really kept us in the game. He hit a big three late in the game. The kid, when he gets going, he's tough. He's tough to stop. He played a very good game yesterday. But, you know, I don't know. Yesterday was a weird game. It was a really weird game. Like I said, we started off horribly. I don't really think we even were in it till the very end. Man, shout out the Mox, came in there, tough as plays. Speaking of Kenich, we spoke of him earlier. I think he started off, he didn't really stuff the stat sheet, but I think he made a big difference down there for him. David Jean Baptiste, who's also been there for 40 years, 18-5. I mean, it's the typical game that he typically plays. He played 35 minutes, he fouled out, but played very well. And I mean, the Banks and Smith, Malachi Smith, I mean, there's some very strong players, and I think they proved themselves a lot yesterday. So, you know, I mean, I'll give credit where it's due, man. They came in and beat us, and shout out AJ Caldwell. You hit one shot, and you hit the shot you needed to hit, man. So, yeah.
And we can just kind of transfer now to the upcoming slate. I'm going to throw the games at you and one by one and let you pick a winner. Talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
This first one is Samford's first game back in like what seems like 2 months. Samford Mercer. You got a winner in that one.
Yeah, I got Mercer, man. I think it's you haven't played. I mean, when you're at home for like a month not doing anything and come back, and then the first game you got to go on the road at Mercer after they just got beat by us on Wednesday. I think they pulled a dub for sure. I just don't see Samford being able to stick through it.
Yeah, and then you got to ask about the conditioning of those guys after COVID does take something out of it.
I mean, playing buckyball too, you're running the whole game, so.
Yeah, yep. The only good thing about that, though, is you know everyone's going to play. We talked about it.
Yeah, true. I mean, they'll play 15 if they have to. Yeah. You know?
If they're healthy, they're going to get in this game. The next one of the Spartans going to Furman. This is on ESPNU. They will have two ESPN nationally broadcasted games this week, both of them against Furman. You got a winner in that one? Are you going to see the G-men staying hot?
G's staying hot, man. I don't see Furman doing anything. I do think if Furman can split the series this week, I think that's a win for them. I think that's huge. But I just don't see G going in there and getting beat the way they're playing right now. I don't know who's going to stop them.
Yeah. And if they sweep the series, I'm sure Mark Zanetta will love to hear me say, I think they win the conference. I think that's the nail in the coffin. I don't see any other teams that can catch them. I don't see any teams that can beat them. That's just the nail in the coffin for the rest of the league. I know my Cats aren't going to catch them.
Hey, Cats can get hot in Nashville. That's what we're hoping for now. That's all we're hoping for, man. Y'all win four straight in Nashville, it's over with.
Yeah. And that will transfer to Wednesday. We're talking about my Cats. VMI comes to Cullowhee. You think the Cats can win that one? Greg Parham's going to give us 36 and shoot 56% for three.
Hey, you tell me what you think, man. I'm going with the key debts on this one, man.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have any reason not to. I'm going to say Mason Faulkner drops 30. I keep begging for it. Let's see Mason Faulkner 30-point game. Corey Hightower, triple-double. Cats get rolling.
Bold prediction.
We get revenge.
This is the game the Cats need, man.
We get revenge for our previous loss in Lexington, where they gave us, honestly, probably our worst loss of the season.
Yeah.
And we blow them out at home, and we get rolling. And then the Paladins will turn right around and play the Spartans again.
Mm-hmm.
You pick the split here.
Yeah. I picked G again. I would love to see a split. Am I going to see a split? I don't think I'll see a split. Especially, you know, with, I don't think Furman wins the first game. I think UNC will go into Timmins. UNCG will go into Timmins and win the first game. I don't see Furman coming on the road and going in and beating G at their place. So, Isaiah, I'm sure he'll tear it up and be on fire. I mean, he's on national television. There's no reason for him not to go crazy. So I'm sure I'll see a nice little like windmill or something in this game. But I'm
afterwards.
Exactly, man. I'm going with UNCG. And shout out G this year. You know, last year they had two half court shots to lose games or full court shots to lose games. None of that's happened so far. So shout out G for not losing in a horrible fashion this year.
For sure. And then the next one are the Mocs going to Wofford. Mock's trying to climb the standings right now after winning two last week. Think they go in there and knock off Storm Murphy's boys?
You know what? I'm kind of feeling bold right now. I think Wofford's sad. I think they're upset for the loss. Man, I hate to say, but I think UTC is going to go in there and win. I think UTC is trying to climb the table, like you just said. I think they're kind of rolling. They're feeling it. They're two straight. Good win at HSU. Man, why would they not? Why would they not go in there, you know? So, yeah, man, I see UTC going in there winning.
For sure. And then the Citadel is going to have to travel – or not the Citadel, sorry. ETSU is traveling to the Citadel. Yeah. You mentioned they play well at home. You think the Citadel can defend home court in this one and knock your boys off?
No, I really don't, because, you know, they don't defend well, which is their issue. So I think hopefully we'll get Hoffman three again, and I can see Damari having 30, honestly. I think Damari hits five or six threes at least this game. So yeah, hopefully ETSU will get back rolling on Wednesday night.
Does Hayden Brown wear shorts in this one, or does he just come out in the unders? Does he even worry about
I talked about my friend plays football at the Citadel, actually. And I was like, man, there's a good chance he still yells gruel. Like, make sure you have your pads before you go in the field, because there's a good chance he may have stolen your pads. I give him credit, man. The dude plays hard. I mean, to play that hard, I guess you have to wear some thigh pads or something, man. But, man, who knows? I think the shorts may be left in the locker room again on this one.
Definitely. And I think – you know, that's going to have a content advisory warning in the SoCal broadcast. And the last one on Wednesday, Mercer at Samford. These two are playing another, you know, back-to-back
yeah.
Furman and UNCG. You got Bucky Ball waking up in this one after that duel?
Nah, man, I still got Mercer in this one. Just for Mercer's own sake, man, hoping they can figure it out, because I do think they're a very talented team, so – hopefully with these two games, they can kind of find their identity again and get rolling.
And they've got an ACC win. They knocked off Georgia Tech earlier in the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Get healthy, I think, is a big thing for Mercer right now.
Absolutely.
Remember your identity, because they need to go back. They don't need to try and figure out who they are. They knew who they were. They need to go back.
They knew who they are. They need to get back to it. Exactly.
And then to turn on to Saturday slate, Western Carolina at Furman. Talking to some of my guys in Colouie, I know this is going to be a chippy game. You saw a little bit of the fight that happened last 2 weeks ago.
I got Furman at home. Clay Mounts hopefully doesn't take 20 shots, score 20 points. Hopefully, you know, takes 15, scores 30. I got Furman. So it'll be chippy, I'm sure. You know, I know you have a new hatred for Furman fans and Furman in general, which I've had for a while now. I see Furman taking this one, man.
You said, you know, not 15 points to – or 15 shots to 20 points. I would love 30 shots and, like, 5 points, maybe, like, 8
right.
Maybe, you know, hopefully, you know, we get to, you know, charge their bench this time and not Bob Ritchie stepping at us.
That's right.
And then transferring Samford at VMI. You got the cadets in this. It's going to be a tough one for Samford.
Yeah, I got the cadets, man. The way they're playing, the way they're rolling, the way they're shooting – I just don't see Samford going in. But, I mean, Samford, I was actually talking to my friend yesterday. He texted me and said, man, like, Belmont's on fire, man. Belmont's one of the best teams. I was like, bro, Belmont lost to Samford. I was like, you know, I think it's unbelievable that Samford went in there and beat Belmont when Belmont's 21 right now. It's like, I mean, you just never know. It's just weird, man. You never know. I don't think Samford's going to win, but I do think it's absolutely just remarkable that they actually got to beat Belmont. And they didn't. They beat them kind of soundly. It wasn't really. I don't think it wasn't like a 1 or 2 point game. So, yeah, Kidets won this one.
Be the Brock Lesnar to Undertaker. We are the one, right. 20-1.
That's right.
And then Citadel is going to travel to Chattanooga. Does Hayden Brown pack his shorts? Because Chattanooga is going to win that game, right?
Yeah, Chattanooga wins that one. I feel uncomfortable even talking about Hayden Brown at this point. Hayden will still have, you know, 17 and 17 rebounds, I'm sure. Maybe that's his advantage. We don't see anybody else in the SoCon getting 15 plus rebounds. You maybe have to credit it to the shorts. Maybe he knows something that we just don't know.
For sure, and maybe that's a secret. You know, the shorts weigh you down, or
Yeah, I
was so distracted by the fact that where is this guy's pants? He's up there getting
That's what it is for sure.
And then UNCG is going to go into Mercer. Does UNCG cap off the week 3-0 and kind of cement themselves to the top of the SoCon standings?
Yeah, man, if UNCG does this, this is huge. I do think they will end up going in there and beating Mercer, whether it's going to be the 3-0 or 2-1 in the week. That's the big difference. But if, like you said, if they do get 3-0 in the week, I mean, massive for them. I do see UNCG going in there and beating Mercer, yeah.
And this is the last one. This is my game of the week. Wofford at ETSU. Do your Bucks get revenge?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we split it. Last year, I think, was the first time, and I think maybe ever, that ETSU didn't split the series with Wofford. So it's typical that we do this or that Wofford sweeps us. But I do think we'll end up sweeping or splitting the series this year. So hopefully ETSU can find their identity again this week, get back to shooting well. So I think we roll into Saturday on fire and kind of defend our home court against Wofford. And hopefully last year was a 48-47 win. Hopefully this year's a little bit more offense. So I think ETSU wins this one.
And you mentioned you swept them last year. I think last year for Wofford, everybody swept them. Nothing was normal for them last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going down there and beating them, running off the court. That was a great win for us. And
yeah,
I remember one of the standees, the ladies that was kind of doing security, she was like, have some respect. Man, we don't beat these guys. This is the thing. Especially,
man, you don't go into that stadium and beating them, especially. Yeah, typically. I mean, it's a tough place to play.
And I'll throw the standings at you. I'm going to rattle them off. And tell me if anything stands out to you. First place, UNCG. Second place, Wofford. Third place, ETSU. Fourth place, Furman. Fifth, the Keydets. Sixth, Chattanooga. Seventh, Citadel. Or no, seventh, Mercer, sorry. Eighth, Citadel. Ninth, Samford. And the 10th, my Cats down there. I've got three frowny faces now.
Three frowny faces.
Yeah, we're battling to get out of the cellar. If we'd won Saturday, we would have climbed out at least eighth, ninth or eighth. Anything that stands out to you?
Man, I mean, like we've been saying it, G's on fire. Hopefully each issue can climb out of third and get back to second. And my dream for the end of the year is going to be UNCG, because we that's our last game of the year is home against UNCG. It would be quite the storybook ending if we could play them for the regular season title at home to that game. But who knows, man? But I mean, sticking out, UNCG's on fire. Like I said, Furman at 5-3, man, there's a good chance that they, at some point this week, they're 5-5 in conference play. And they haven't been 5-5 in conference play in a while. So that'll be interesting. And then
to see the
I don't even really want to talk about Western. Could climb
fourth if Furman falls to 5-5. You know, the big four schools, UNCG, Wofford, ETSU, and VMI.
And VMI, man. Absolutely. Anything stick out to you?
Just VMI is shocking to me. If you told me at this point, before the season started or even right before we played y'all on the 30th, if you told me that these were going to be the SoCon standings at this point, I probably would have cried. I'd be very upset. VMI! I would have lost my mind. Shout out to the Cadets, because they were playing some great basketball, and it's a team I like to watch. I love watching.
And you've told me before, if your Cats don't win the conference, you'd love to see VMI win the conference. And, I think I have to agree with you there. I think if ETSU doesn't win the conference, I wouldn't want to see anybody else winning except for VMI. I'd love to see it. I think they're all, if I'm not mistaken, they've been to a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight or something like that way back in the day.
Way back.
So, it'd be nice to see them go back again. You know, shout out Keydets, man. Put them back on the map.
Yeah, I think they were still using peach baskets back then. You had to get the ball. It did make
another three-point line back then.
The Sweet 16 and the tournament only had 16 teams at that point. So
exactly, right?
And then you want to transfer to Player of the Week. So anybody that stood out to you?
Ah, gosh. Man, let's see what you got first. Let's see what you got now, and I'll see if I agree with you. How about that?
I gotcha. I think the thing about Player of the Week this week, you know, when I was thinking about it, nobody, as we talked about, there are no great teams.
I agree, yeah.
No superstar players, really. There's a lot of guys that are good, no great players. And you mentioned him a little bit. The guy I ended up going with after I thought about it for a while, is Malachi Smith out of Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. To have the accomplishment of powering a team to 2-0 after the COVID pause, which usually messes most teams up. He averages 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 22-5-4 against my Cats, 18-7-2 against your Bucks. Yes. My only honorable mention, the only other guy that stood out to me was your guy, Damari, 23-8. I think he does win Freshman of the Week. Is there anything you want to say about Malachi Smith?
You know, I'm going to add my player of the week. I think he's undershadowed just because they lose. We do talk about his shorts, but I do think Hayden Brown needs at least a mention. They're not winning, and that kind of, I think that takes away player of the week. Who else is having 15 and 17? You know, he had 15 and 17 against Western on Monday. Against UNCG, he had 17 and 9, I believe. And then yesterday, what did he have? He had, he had 21 and 15. I mean, it's just like he's putting up some wild numbers. Granted, I think he'd be my player of the week if they did win. I'm with you. You know, I guess we can give it to Malachi for sure. I think he's also kind of like a walking double-double. He's really good in the stat sheet for sure. Freshman of the week, I'll go ahead and give it to Damari. I don't think I'll ever not vote Damari for freshman of the week. He's the face of our offense right now. And also, you know, like I shouted out Sanchez and Sidekick earlier in the podcast. But they were talking about Mike Gallagher and Voice of the Bucks, Jay Sanders, were talking about it's not just the things that he does on the ball. It's the things he does off the ball. And it's the things he does for the other teammates, you know, against Mercer. Really nice assist down to Silas Hideki towards the end of the game. Playing good defense. He's a big, big guy, but he's quicker than he looks. So shout out Mario on that one. And hopefully he'll be sweeping the Freshman of the Week awards like he has been for the rest of the year.
He's definitely Freshman of the Week. And something, you know, that stands out about both of those guys, Malachi Smith and Damari, that's not the points that they're putting in the basket, is the rebounds. Malachi Smith's like the top rebounding guard in the nation. He's averaging 9
points. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's ridiculous.
Especially more in conference play. He's right up there. He averaged, 15 rebounds or something 1 week he averaged. Yeah. He averaged 8.3 this week. Guards are getting to the glass. And, you know, Hayden Brown, maybe I just didn't show him any love because he beat my Cats on Saturday. But he's a guy that's always going to go for 17 and 17 just because I swear that Duggar Baucom's playbook is no one else go to the glass.
it very well could be. But yeah, I also think it's one of those things where Citadel tries to speed you up as much as they can because they have such a fast offense. I think they try to speed you up. So whether it's just leaving you open at the three and letting you shoot the three, which they do often, I don't know if that has anything to do with it having the long rebounds. But I mean, it seems like any shot he's always sitting there. So it may be, man. Maybe Duggar and Hayden have something where he's like, all right, man, just I'll let you rebound every play, and we'll get your stats up this year. So.
Sure. Is there anything, you know, at this point in the SoCon season you want to say to the fans kind of to wrap things up here? Where do you see the SoCon going from here?
Man, I think we're in for a wild ride, but if UNCG plays the way they do right now, if they keep playing this way, I think it's G's season to lose at this point, at least. We can both agree on that one. But man, I'm just excited for Asheville. It's always a good time, man. I don't know what they're going to do. It's probably not going to be as fun this year, but definitely gonna be fun to watch. But like you said, man, no great teams this year, I don't think, but there's a lot of good teams, and I think that's just as fun as watching someone like Wofford or even ETSU was last year. So anything you got to say?
You hit it, and hopefully Asheville, you mentioned it, hopefully there can still be some fun there. I'm not sure what they'll be able to do with fans and everything going on, but I'd love to come up there to Asheville and see some of the listeners, see you, you know, anybody absolutely, that's going to Asheville, man, that week, you know, kind of get the SoCon family.
Absolutely. Have a little pregame at the beer garden, man. Do something up there. Yeah, absolute blast.
Definitely. But I appreciate you being on. I appreciate you taking your time out of your Sunday.
Hey, thank you, man. Always enjoy it.